story thing, and you know, you probably saw the sign, and now the children's message, and we sang songs about the will of God, and now we're going to talk about the will of God. It almost seems like there's a thing happening here, you know? It's good to listen to what the Lord is saying. You know, over the last few weeks, we've talked about people coming to faith in Christ. We've talked about people being healed, people being provided for by God. Last week was a tough one. We talked about walking in forgiveness and how that can be a part of our story with how God has transformed our lives. And now this week, considering the will of God in our lives. So think about that for a moment. The will of God in your life. Sounds very official. Big letters, the will of God. Charlton Heston voice. Up in lights, what is the will of God for your life? It's a big topic. There's lots of opinions about the will of God and how you discern what the will of God is. So I'm hoping to equally offend everyone today. So if I leave you out, it's not intentional. I'm joking, I really don't want to offend a bunch of people, but I'm going to just point out a few ways that we talk about the will of God. For some people, when they hear the will of God, they kind of think about that God's will is sort of this cosmic killjoy, right? God takes all the fun out of life, because everything that's fun is probably sinful, and, well, you know, probably shouldn't do that, so if we're walking according to God's will, it's not going to be a fun life. It's going to be boring, or it's going to be really hard saying, man, I really want to do that, but I shouldn't because it's not God's will. Or how about the approach to God's will that God's will is this one specific thing, and if I don't do that specific thing, then I'm out of God's will and out of his blessing, and my entire life will be off course from here on out because I didn't do that one specific thing. And then there's the coincidence approach to discerning God's will. So it would be like if I was walking in the woods, I don't know, squirrel hunting, and I look down and I pick up a Wrigley's gum wrapper, and then the wind blows through the trees, and I think, oh, it's windy. The Windy City. Wrigley Field. I'm supposed to be a missionary in Chicago. Right? I mean, I don't know. That's a stretch, I know.
Sounds good.
Sounds good, right? Yeah. You know, God can speak to us however God wants to. And sometimes he uses those kinds of things. So I'm not trying to dismiss and downplay God using things to speak to us in that way. But the foundational question of what is God's will for your life is a bigger question. And everybody as Christians asks it, and it has to do with everything in our lives, the big questions and the little stuff, all our relationships, all our choices, our direction in life. Everything needs to be guided by this compelling desire to do the will of God. It's a major pursuit in living the Christian life, is trying to obey God and be in his will. So it's not just knowing his will, it's doing his will. You know, a big part of your story, walking out your faith and living into God's will for your life, is learning to know the will of God. And that's foundational in being able to tell your story. You know, if you can point to, you know, God's will for my life is X, and when I stepped out of it, here's what happened, and, you know. But there's a bigger question. The Bible has a ton to say about the will of God, and there's a lot more than we can get into today with the will of God. But we're going to look at two fundamental parts of the will of God. So, does God guide us in day-to-day decisions? Should I marry that person? Should I buy that truck? Should I sit in that deer stand or that deer stand? Which one, God? Yes, I would submit God cares about the minutiae of our lives, so to speak. He cares about the day-to-day details. Just pray and ask him for help when you've lost your car keys. And then when you find them, and tell me that the Lord didn't help you, you know? If we will listen to God, He will guide us. Are there choices and paths in our lives that take us closer to God and farther from His will? Certainly. But the question that we're going to look at today is bigger than the moment-by-moment decisions of the will of God in our lives, and more of a bigger picture that has actually deep implications on these smaller decisions as well. So back to that first question, how do we know the will of God? The will of God is found in the written Word of God, revealed by the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, and empowered in us by the Spirit of God. I know that sounded really theological and really good, right? Yeah, when I wrote that, I was like, ooh, that's great. No. In Psalm 143, David says this, Lord, teach me to do your will. He didn't say, teach me to understand your will, teach me to agree with your will, teach me to know your will, teach me to find your will. He said, teach me to do your will. And so that points us in the direction that God's will is a matter of obedience more than knowledge, if that makes any sense. God's will isn't having this cosmic divine understanding of everything. That's in fact what Adam and Eve thought they were going for when they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? They wanted to be like God, since that's what Satan tempted them with. What God is looking for is obedience. Another couple of verses, John 4:34, I came to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus said that. Who sent Jesus? The Father. I came to do the will of the Father. I came to do the will of him who sent me. What did Jesus do? What was God's will? That he should die and be raised for our transgressions, for our wrongdoing, for our sin. 1 Peter 4:2 says, live the rest of your lives on earth for the will of God. In light of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus, live the rest of your lives on earth for that will. Psalm 119, enable me, O God, to do your will, to follow your paths, to keep your commandments. Doing, following, keeping, all relates to obedience. Do your will, follow your paths, keep your commandments. So there's this sort of cosmic will of God, right? The big overarching, what God has set in motion for the time that has come before, for where we are now, and for what is to come, is going to happen. We can't change it. We're not going to alter that course. Regardless of what we do, God's plan is going to be accomplished. And there's some beauty in that, that no human failing of ours is going to vanquish the will or purpose of Almighty God. It's divine providence at work in our lives. It's this concept of divine providence, that God redeems our failings and our successes into accomplishing His will. So what about my life? What about your life? God has a will for our lives, and He wants us to know it. He has not hidden it from us. It's not like some treasure hunt. You know, find my will. He wants us to find it. It's found directly in Scripture, and it spells it out perfectly in a number of places. One of the most obvious is this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is that you be saved. It's not necessarily that you buy the Chevy 3500 turbo diesel. Could be, but be a nice truck. No. God's will is that you be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not willing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. God is willing that you be saved. God is willing that you would repent. It is God's will that you would be saved from eternal destruction. That's the will of God. That's the big will of God, right? This is the plan of redemption from the beginning. It is the will of God that he sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sin to make salvation even possible. So let's just shift to the Sermon on the Mount for a moment. Remember that? Sermon on the Mount, maybe? Jesus says, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, we did this and we did that in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. That almost sounds like a works thing when you read it in the Sermon on the Mount. We have to do these things to be saved. The will of my Father. What is the will of the Father? That you would embrace the Son. That you would put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the will of the Father. So God's will is that you would be saved. Sorry, it's not more complex than that. God's will is that you would be saved. And then from the epistle lesson today, there's another aspect of God's will that I'd like to highlight for us. And again, this is not the only treatment of God's will. We could talk about this a lot, but these are just two aspects. God's will is that you be saved, and God's will is that you be filled with the Spirit. So let's go back, look at Ephesians 5. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So we're not supposed to operate in ignorance and foolishness, right? Do not be foolish. The original word for foolish here means foolish. Like, as we would consider a fool, you know, making stupid choices, knowing the right way, but choosing to do the wrong thing. Foolish. Adam and Eve, foolish. That kind of foolish. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is for you to be saved. Then, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Why on earth do we have getting drunk being compared with being filled with the Spirit? It's kind of weird in here, isn't it? And almost on the surface, we wonder, okay, it's not good to get drunk, I guess. What does that have to do with the will of God? Is it just God's will that we don't get drunk? It's a control issue. When you give yourself over to being drunk with wine, or you give yourself over to this or to that or to this addiction or that addiction, or you spend your time on this or that instead of being filled with the Spirit, you are allowing yourself to be controlled by that thing instead of being controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, the word control is kind of a trigger for some of us. We don't like to be controlled. We don't like to be told what to do. You know, I want to be controlled by the Spirit, you know, and get jerked around. And that's not the kind of control that the Holy Spirit does. The word in here for being filled with the Spirit, that word for filled, is the same word that's used. Imagine one of those big, tall, masted schooner ships, you know, like you see sometimes off the coast in Connecticut or Boston or whatever, and the wind fills that sail. You get that picture in your mind for just a moment. The sail is slack, doing nothing, and then all of a sudden this gust of wind comes along and it billows it out, and all of a sudden that is full of potential and direction and energy. That's what being filled by the Spirit in this sense and in this word is. That you are allowing yourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit in the same way that a sail on a ship would be filled with wind. All that energy, all that power, all that direction is being provided by God, the Holy Spirit, in your life after you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So now if you're filled with the Spirit, what does that look like? It goes on here in Ephesians 5. Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds like a lovely little saying I might say at the end of the service, you know, be happy, be blessed, go home, you know. But there's a lot in there that being filled with the Spirit of God indicates. You're so filled up with God that it pours out of you. Instead of complaining, instead of grumbling, instead of being thirsty for stuff that you don't really need, you have a holy contentment because you're singing psalms and hymns. It's pouring out of you. You're making melody to the Lord in your hearts. You know, when you get up in the morning, is it, thank you, Lord, for another day, another chance to honor you and live for you, or, oh, I got to do this today. you know, where is your heart at with that? Giving thanks to God the Father, being filled with the Spirit and being in His will is being thankful for what comes down the line. You know, we sang this song, as long as you are glorified, shall I take from your hand your blessings and not welcome any pain? Shall I thank you for days of sunshine, yet grumble in days of rain? You know, we all know that life has challenging times and easier times, and Paul talks about being content and knowing that God is with us even in our suffering. Romans 12, just briefly, I want to skip off the top of that. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you will be able to discern what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's that will of God thing again. Okay? God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And we will not know it if our minds are not being renewed by the Holy Spirit, and if we are not being conformed and transformed to His word and His way. If we are walking according to the path of the world, we will not know the will of God, and we will be walking and stumbling in the darkness and in blindness. So when we are saved, when we are being filled by the Spirit of God like that sail, when we are walking with Him, we are in step with Him. We are being obedient to Him. We're giving thanks to Him. It is then that we actually are knowing His will, because we are being conformed into His image and knowing His mind and knowing His heart. So we go back to those small questions of, what truck should I buy? What person should I marry? What school should I attend? What route should I take home from church today? What deer stand should I sit in? These cold temperatures has me thinking. God cares about that stuff. And if you are walking in His will by being saved, if you are walking in His will by being filled with His Spirit, the way that sail is, you are going to know His will in these decisions of life. I know it probably sounds simplistic. You know, it's no eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It's no throw a bunch of things in a hat and pray that you pull out the right one. It's not asking God's will to be conformed to ours. It's being so in relationship with God that when it comes time to make a decision, we know what His will is going to be, because our spirits are walking with His Spirit. There's not a gap. You know, His will in the beginning was clear, right? Before Adam and Eve sinned, what was the state of the relationship between God and man? It was perfect, union, perfect harmony. There was no anything between them, right? Then sin enters, and that relationship is broken. There's an eternal schism that is created, that is bridged by the blood of Jesus, and in no other way. And so, God's will for us to be saved and be filled with His Spirit brings us back all the way around to where it began in the garden, in perfect relationship with God. Can't go back to the garden. What's done is done. But in Christ Jesus, everything is made new. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? Are you filled with the Spirit? In the name of Christ. Amen. We're going to stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's found in your program. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the great and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.